Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A simple three-point outline can help us make the most of hearing a sermon. As we're learning, one outline comes from the book of James. Today, how to take home more from church than you ever thought possible. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on being changed by the Word. In this, the third of six messages, our focus is on how the Word of God blesses us. Turn again to James chapter 1.
Before a sermon, cleansing. During a sermon, humility. Receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your souls. Meekness means humility. What you do is you come and you say, Lord, speak to me. I want to learn. I'm not here to oppose you. I tell you, it's very dangerous business to oppose God. And the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I, for one, do not want to be in opposition with God because I know who's going to win and who's going to lose. So James says, come and do it with submission. Are you willing to listen to God's word, to really hear what he has to say to you today? You know that it's so important to do this. Let me give you an example and an illustration as to how you and I should listen to the word of God, whether preached, listened to, or read. Let us suppose that you had a very, very wealthy aunt. Some of you say aunt, but I'm talking about the same person. And once casually, when you're over there, she happens to say that she's remembered you in her will. She hasn't said anything beyond that. You know that rich relatives often make bad friends, but they can make wonderful ancestors. And so, now the attorney has called a meeting and her will is going to be read and you're present. You wouldn't care whether or not he was well-dressed. You wouldn't care whether or not his outline was as clear as the one I'm giving you today. You wouldn't care about anything. What you're doing is you're listening for your name. That's what you're listening for. Did she leave me some money or did she leave me a debt? What did she do? When you come to hear the word of God, you are listening for your name. You're coming and you're saying, oh God, what do you have to say to me today? My soul is thirsty, my need is great, and I need to hear your voice. Vance Havner was a country preacher who had all kinds of witticisms that he used to roll off in his sermons. You know, he'd say things, you know, most church services begin at 11 o'clock sharp and they end at 12 o'clock dull. He'd say things like that. But I also remember something else that he said. He said, I've never yet had a sermon where I didn't get anything. But he said, I've had some mighty close calls. We've all had our close calls. I'm sure I have preached my share of forgettable messages. We've had close calls. As God would have it, this morning I was in the church early, as I always am on Sunday, and I was looking through some of the mail that arrived, and there was a letter from somebody who said that in our church, the preaching, he's talking about his church, he said that the preaching is about 2% milk, the 2% kind. Now, folks, no matter how bad the sermon may be, no matter how imperfect it may be, listen for your name. I quoted Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I'm using his outline today. And, he was once walking through the snow. He got to this little church, and the preacher wasn't there. The preacher couldn't get to church on Sunday. So there was a layman who stood up and said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Spurgeon, the age of 17, sitting in the back of that little church, heard that and was converted and was one of the greatest preachers this world has ever seen besides Jesus and Paul. You never know when you hear God's word. So James says, all right, now remember, 35 years from now, I want you to remember this outline. Before a sermon, cleansing. During a sermon, humility. After a sermon, well, obviously, the word that you're expecting me to say, and I will say, is obedience. But let's look at the text, okay? Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer, not being a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he is going to be blessed in what he is doing. James says it's like a man looking in the mirror. Now, I need to tell you that in Greek, there are two different words for man. There's one word for man, which means mankind. It could include women. That's not the word that James is using here. He's using a word that can only be translated male. He has a man in mind. Now, whenever you approach the gender issue, you begin to get a little nervous. I mean, after all, we're living in a day and age where you can't even build a snowman anymore. It has to be a snow person that has to be built. But I'm going to skate across this really fast. Now, just tell me honestly, one-on-one, who is it that spends more time in front of a mirror, the male species or the female species? I mean, is there any debate about that? I don't think so. You see, James knows that it's not like a woman to look in the mirror and then go her way and forget what she was like. Men will. They'll look at the mirror, they'll maybe use a little bit of mouthwash, throw on some cologne, and hey, they're fine. And they forget about all the rest. James says that's the way auditors do it. You see, what they do is they look at the law, they're there on Sunday, they listen to a sermon, and then they go their way and they forget about it and they don't apply it and they forget the truth of it. The Word of God is a mirror, and it tells you the truth about yourself. It is not bent. You know, years ago, when I was a little boy, I was in what in Canada would be like a state fair, and I was in a house of mirrors. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those, but, you know, you are in some rooms, and you're just as tall, you know, you're like Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, you're up, and then you're in some other rooms, and you discover that you are short and very rotund. You know, there are some people who are running around trying to find a mirror that makes them look good. The Bible is a mirror that tells it the way it is. It reflects, it reveals who we are. Years ago, I remember a missionary telling this story, and I believe it to be true because the missionary told us, that they were in a primitive tribe that had never seen mirrors in their life. So here they are, they bring a mirror to these people, and a woman looked in the mirror. Obviously, she had never seen her face before. And according to their translation in English, and I'll give it to you just the way they gave it when they told us, she looked in the mirror, and then she looked away and said, "Who is this hag that has come into our village?" She'd never seen herself before. You see, and the Word of God tells us who we are. It reveals God, but reveals us, but it also reveals God, and it becomes redemptive. You see, in the Bible, and I want to be clearer than what I just simply said, we not only see ourselves, we also see God. Beyond the sacred page, I see thee, Lord. So the mirror not only reveals, the mirror also sanctifies. It brings us transformation. That's the word I'm looking for. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "We also with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory into glory, even as by this word the Spirit." What the Word of God does is it reveals us to ourselves as to who we are, but then it also reveals Christ, and there in the Word we see His grace, and we see His power, and we see His love, and we see His redemption. The Bible contains in itself all that we really need from now to eternity. It's all there. And that's why James says that what we have to do is we have to look intently into the law of liberty. We have to persevere in it. And then he says that person will be blessed in his deeds. And then he gives us some deeds that we should be doing. For example, in verse 26, he talks about the tongue. He says, if you can't control your tongue, I don't care how many sermons you've listened to. I don't care how many songs you've sung. Your religion basically is vain. James puts a tremendous amount of emphasis on the tongue. And then he says he deceives his heart because he thinks, once again, look, I've heard the word. I've memorized the scripture. But it hasn't gone down into his heart. And then it says in verse 27, take care of the orphans and the widows. And today we may include in that preborn infants and their mothers. And in this way, James says, we live out our faith so that it becomes practical and it becomes real because we have been gripped by God's holy word. And by the way, all of the statistics indicate that there is a tight connection between people who are in the word consistently and people who serve in the church, people who are committed to the church, people who are loyal to God's ministries, people who are generous. There is a direct connection between the Word of God and the way in which we live. And so James says that what you need to do is to look intently and persevere in the Word. You know, my friend, as a pastor, I want us to always look to the Word of God for direction and for help. And it is so important that we do that in all areas of life. We have to manage our emotions. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that feelings are facts? I hope not. Because there are many of you who feel unloved. You feel that God does not love you. If you're a believer, that is not a fact. God assures us of His love in Romans chapter 8, saying that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So we don't even have to feel loved to be loved. It's very important that we get our emotions under control and see them in light of God's Word. I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions. The subtitle is God's Good Gifts Gone Wrong. Emotions are a wonderful gift, but they need to be handled and understood scripturally. And what I try to do is to help us reorient ourselves and our emotions to God's Word, constantly pointing people in the direction of hope.
Erwin Lutzer with The Word of God Blesses Us, the third message in a series on being changed by the Word. Next time, why each believer needs to spend serious time in the Word of God to mature into the image of Christ. Dr. Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.